go with Chris. This is just an interesting how Rabbi Marcus brought it to my attention today. And he's a lefty. We're both lefties. So, Chora, this is something a little bit earth-shattering for lefties. So, take a look on Daf Kuf Chesem and Aleph. So you have the Sugi of Haseba. So it starts off, Idmar Matzah Tzar Haseba V'chule. And you go down probably about 10, 12 lines. The last word on the line is Proktan. See that? It's right next to the Tosas Proktan, right? So he says, Proktan lo shmei Haseba. So if you lie on your back, that's not called Haseba. Hasebas yamin lo shma Haseba. And if you lean on your right side, that's not a Haseba either. So he said, "V'lo od el Hashem yaktim kana leveshet." Maybe you're going to accidentally choke because your trachea will be exposed, and it's not going to go down your I forgot already. Esophagus, yeah. It's not going to go down your esophagus. It's going to go down your trachea. So therefore, you're not supposed to do haseba in that way. V'yavli de sakana. It's going to lead to sakana. Okay, so that's the whole gemara we wanted to see. If you take a look at Rashi here. So he doesn't explain any of the other lines, but he says Shema Yaktim. You see that Rashi on the top? Shema Yaktim is the third or fourth to last Rashi. So Apraktan Koi. Shemitok Shet Savaro Shochel Achorov Shipui Kova Hasosim Es Piakonet Niftach Umiskape Lamala. Vakonet Poshet Lamala Vamaycho Nechnas Letoko Venechnak. So the key words are the first two words. It's going back on the case of Proktan. It's not talking about a Sebes Yemin. It's talking about a person who lies down on his back. That's Shitas Rashi. Shitas Rashi says we're talking about the sakana of a person who's lying on his back.
That person might
choke. Okay. But a Sebes Yemin, there's no chashash that a person's going to choke.
Okay.
That's how Rashi learns. So the question the Rashbam asks, if you take a look at the Rashbam on the bottom of the Amid, it's the second wide line, middle line, Shema Yaktim, Apraktan Koi. So he first quotes like Rashi, Shemitoch Shet Savar Shochesh Lachorav, Shipoy Kova Sosim, same exact thing as Rashi. Go a little bit further, Kach Pirish Rabbeinu Shlomo. That's what the Zayda says. Vekashali, Amai Lo Samche Lahai Velo Asebis Yemin. Why didn't it put it next to the case of Praktan? Why did it put it next to Asebis Yemin? Rabosai Pirishu, I don't know who his other Rebbeim were, but his other Rebbeim said, Shema Yaktim Kona Leveshet. Deveshet Have Al Tzad Yemin. V'niftach HaKova Shal Pia Kona Me'elov. Kishumata Klapa Yemin. V'mikone Yisbo HaMeichel Arei Sakona Shein Ochlun U'mashkin Nichnasen Ela Derech HaVeshet. V'lekach. Yeah. V'lekach Nira Be'enai Da Sebes Yemin Koi Medesamche Lididei. So it's really a machlokis in Metzias almost. Between Rashi and the Rashbam. It's kind of like a machlokis in biology. Which way is going to lead to this sakana? If you lean to your right, is it going to lead to the sakana, or if you lean back? Rabbi Marcus told me that he was talking to some of the biology students, and they said they thought, al pi biology, Rashi was more correct. They thought that it was more. So I didn't confirm this with a real doctor, but they said, al pi biology, it sounds like Rashi is more correct, because neither is on either side, one's in front of the other. When you feel your neck, you can feel the, I mean, that's not a riot or anything, but it's the trachea is in front, the esophagus is behind, and the flap, the epiglottis that separates them, flaps forward and back. It doesn't flap side to side.
Right. And when you want it just to go down, the esophagus remains closed.
Right. So that's an interesting thing. Alpi science, it's shaykh that Rashi is more correct, and that the sakana is dafka on a person who leans on his back, not a person who leans on his right. But clearly the Gemara uses a very harsh lushan, and it says, Proktan is lo shma seba, that's not called a seba, and also leaning on your right side is not called a seba, right? A seba simin is not a seba.
Okay.
So what you see here is that this the din of Shema Yaktim Kana Leveshet is not in totally in what's called a seba, rather it's totally in a sakana in addition to that basic din of a seba. You hear the idea?
Okay,
so the question really becomes, why is Hasebis Yamin not called Haseba? So Rashi, nor the Rashbam explains it, but the simple pshat, and this is how a lot of Mephoshim say, is that person, look at the Rashbam. Rashbam says it right here. Hasebis Yamin lav shmei Haseba, sharei biyamino utzarech lechol. So how could you call that a seva? I'm not doing this to feel the cheres, to feel like a fancy person, and here I am lying down on my right arm, and I can't eat with my right arm, so I have to eat lefty if I'm used to eating righty. So what ramifications would that have for an iter yad, the person who eats with his left hand? That would sound like a person who eats with his left hand should dafka lean on his right side, not his left side. Ad kenekach, that you could argue, that has sevas small for him, is lav shmeh haseva. Because how could there be cheres for a person who needs to eat with his left hand, and he's there sitting on top of his left hand, so he's going to end up eating with his right hand. That's not derech cheres, and mameli is not accomplishing haseva at all. So that being said, it's a very big nafkamina for a lefty, which way he should do a seva. Should he dafka do a seva on the right side like everybody else? Should he dafka do a seva on the left side like everybody else and not be able to eat properly, so running the risk of saying it's lav shmeh seva? Or should he do a seva on his right side and then be able to eat with the left hand, but then according to the Rashbam, he's in a situation of sakana? That's the problem. So on one end, you have the halacha of a seva. On the other hand, you have the sakana of shemi yakdim kanel veshet. So if you look in the Ramah and Shulchan Aruch and Simon Tafayin Beis, so in Sif Gimel says the Shulchan Aruch starts off kishu may save lo yata al gavo v'lo al pana v'lo al yimino ella al smolo ve'in chiluk ben iter la acher. So the Ramah says lefties do the same thing as everybody else. If you look in the Mishnah Berurah, he explains why. So he says, the ein chilik wrote Salomar, Siv Katan Yirav, wrote Salomar, the gam iter tzarech lahasev al smol kol adam, the afal gav hu ochel tamid bismolo vim came with tam rishon, hoya tzarech lahasev al yamino. Again, what he calls tam rishon, I'll call the tam of api halacha. There's two things, there's halacha and there's sakana. Okay? So mikol makom, ein lechalik, still. Why? Vim nei tam sheni shema yaktim kana leveshet, classic klal of chamira sakanta misura. A lot of rules based on that, you know, in various cases of sakana. So he says, v'yochal oso pam b'yamin kol adam. So let him eat with his right hand. U'b'diyevet em hasev outside yamin yatsa diyamin shalo havik esmol kol adam. Right. So he says that nevertheless, if he leaned the other way, so that's correct, b'di'evid, but only b'di'evid.
Is it so bad eating with the right hand?
Is it so bad for a right to eat with the left hand? The answer is, it's lav shmeh seva. That's the lashon of the Gemara. It's not called the seva. What?
I was saying for a right to lean to his right, is the problem that he's going to use his left hand, or if he would use his right hand, he would be... That's the side he needs to eat on, so he's very uncomfortable.
I'll take a look. Sorry, you don't have it. In Sifkat and Yud in the Mishnah Berurah, below al yamino, this is for righties. Don't lean on your right side. Delo shma haseba kevan shetzarech lechol bimino. It's not called a seba because you have to eat with your right hand. That's the hand that you like to eat with, and we're talking cheres here, and that's very important. So he said. So the Mishnah Berurah, even though the mechaber kind of softens the blow a little bit, he doesn't write lo shma haseba. The mechaber writes he shouldn't lo yatel gabo. Velo al pana, velo al yamino, el al smolo. So you could argue, maybe the mechaber is trying to tell you the lashon of the Gemara is lav dafka, you know, that it's not that you're not yotze anything of a seva. Rather, it's just saying there's an ideal way to do it and there's a wrong way to do it that's still a seva. Now, clearly, the Mishnah Berurah goes back to the lashon of the Gemara and he says that's not called a seva. So, what you have here is a very, very strong case that according to Rashi, you might not be yotze bechlal doing a seva if you do a seva on your left side, because he doesn't hold of the sakana issue of the Rashbam. And on the other hand, it sounds like if you hold like the Rashbam, you're still going to be yotze if you do a seva on that side. And that's the Mishnah Berurah says, b'dieved, you're still yotze. So the question is there really a sakana the way we paskin like the Rashbam, or is maybe the real sakana like Rashi? So you could say, well, listen, the Ramah has spoken, the Mishnah Berurah has spoken, we consider the Rashbam to be correct in the era of Sakana. But the question in general is, do we really go like that? Do we just assume that when the Gemara had something, al pi Sakana, if it turns out that the Metzias is not that way, are we choshish for that Sakana? Lav dafka, I don't think we automatically say that. And Lu Yitzur, you want to say, no, everything the Gemara says about Sakana is definitely true, even if biologically it doesn't work out, So it's not like the Gemara says unequivocally that the Hasebas Yamin is going to lead to Sakana. That's goof of the machlokis between Rashi and the Rashbam. So it's not like you're arguing on Chazal if you want to say like Rashi. You could just say that modern medicine goes like Rashi. Right? So it's not really an issue. And then the Rashbam doesn't claim to have done any major medical experiments. He said, my Rebbeim said, not like Rashi. Okay, so Rashi was a pretty great Rishon also. He's entitled to his opinion. And it's not really a machlokis per se in Torah alone, because there's a machlokis in Metzias going on between Rashi and the Rashbam. So whoever the Metzias is more like, that's how you should hold. So okay, lest you're going to say that this is all apikorsis, and how could you go against once the Shulchan Aruch paskins that the halach is that the sakana is on the right side and not the sakana of praktan. So that's already the halach is kovei the Metzias, if you believe that. So then,
if you say Rashi is correct and there's no sakana about leaning to the right side.
If you say that Rashi is correct, leaning to either side is not going to generate any kind of sakana. It's only leaning on your back that's just going
to
generate a sakana.
And therefore, the right side,
correct, there's no, and not only you might as well, l'chora, you're not even yotze. If a lefty would lean to the left, he's not even yotze because he's not doing, you know, he's not going to accomplish any type of cheres with his aseva. It's lav shmei aseva for him. So, lest you claim that all of this is complete apikursus, and once the Shulchan Aruch paskins like the Rashbam, that's the Metzias, and we don't care. So, I saw in the Seder Aruch, I didn't get a chance to really do good research here, but the Seder Aruch quotes from real non-apikursim, who say exactly like this. It says, he quotes, Yesh sovrim she'iter tzarech lahasev v'tzad yamin, l'fi she'aseba b'smol goremes lo tzar, ve'ein zu derecheres, ve'ein lochus shemayaktim konish leveshet, the fish shluchei mitzvah in a mizokim. So he says, even if you would agree with the Rashbam that's a sakana, shluchei mitzvah in a mizokim, which is a very shver avort because the Gemara says it's going to be a sakana. So how could you say it's kash? All right, v'asevi shemin in a kishchia hazeka. It's not a case of bari hazeka where you mamish, you know, you're running through Peninsula Boulevard right after the green light to try to get to the other side to help an old lady across the street. That's not, you're not going to say, well, shluchim mitzvah and nizokin, because that's malkum hecha debari hezeka. So it's not going to be mutter in that case. It says, shekein kama anashim esebu biyamin velo nizoku. So he says, because we find all the time that people do it and nothing happens to them. Right? So who is these manda amrim that he's quoting? He quotes the Shut Radvaz and the Gvuras Hashem of the Maral. So he says, both the Maral and the Radvaz were definitely not apikorsim. And they definitely had a strong foundation in the Mesorah of Halacha and Jewish Hashkafa. And nevertheless, they seem to agree that for a lefty, he should definitely do a seva on the right side because the sakana is not really a sakana. And that's not even going within the way we're explaining it. They're saying, well, Yitzur, the Halacha was like the Rashbam, and that really there is some area of sakana. But since we see with our own eyes that the sakana is not serious, so then you're better off going with the Halacha reason rather than the sakana reason. So, okay. So that's a very strong case for those who want to say. So this is basically a case that if you hold like the Rashbam, you should still do Haseba on your right side because the sakana is not such a sakana, unlike the Mishnah Berura says, Chamira Sakanta Me'isura. But even within the Mishnah Berura and within all of this, it's not so posh that we should be passing like the Rashbam. L'chora, if it pans out, I'm not saying for sure that that's the official Metzias, but if the official Metzias is such that really Rashi's explanation is more correct, or neither explanation is necessarily correct, if you find out that just l'maisa nowadays people don't experience such sakana when they eat while leaning, so then it should be a davar pashut that if you lean that way according to Rashi, then you're not yotze if you lean like a righty. And according to the Rashbam, if you lean like a right, you're still yotzei b'di'evid. So it seems like a davar pashut that a lefty should be leaning on the other side. It's just something. It's a tzarachi, and I'm saying I'm not. It's not a done deal. I haven't figured out. Oh, pretty recently, probably 15 years ago. I'm saying, but it's food for thought. Food for thought. I don't know. So try to do more research into looking at. I have to look up the actual Ma'amakomos in the Seder Aruch, but just something Rabbi Marcus mentioned today that I thought was kedai to keep in mind. You know, we all know lefties, and some of us even are them. So it's kedai to keep in mind that according to Rashi, no lefty was ever Yotzei HaSeva in his life, if he's following the Mishnah Berurah and the based on the Ramah. And okay, so we don't pass him like Rashi, we pass him like Rashbam, but it's not so pasha that we should be passing him like Rashi against the Rashbam, depending on the Metzias.
Yeah, but doesn't it go back to how often do we take them like the Maharal's approach over Shulchan Aruch or Ramah? Like, even if they do say, if it makes more sense, it doesn't come back to, like, that's like
I'm just saying,
solid rule kind of thing.
What's our rule?
Follow Shulchan Aruch Ramah.
Right, but it's not like Halacha Moshe Mitzrayim to follow the Ramah. If the Ramah was basing himself that he held the Rashbam was correct, right? But if the Rashbam isn't correct, he isn't correct. I'm saying the Rashbam says this is the opinion of Rashi, and I don't agree with him because I don't think the Metzias is such. He doesn't say Rashi doesn't know how to learn, so I don't agree with him. He says the Metzias sounds more like me because of the way the Gemara situates the order. Okay, so Rashi also knew how to learn Gemara. Didn't seem too bothered by that particular order. So really, it's just a machlokus in science whether or not one was a sakana, the other one was a sakana. So the Ramah paskin that lechora the Rashbam is right. I don't know why the Ramah paskin that the Rashbam was right over Rashi, but he did. But lemaisa, if Rashi's right, he's right.
Since it's
the Messiah's
question, there's more room to...
Yeah, because the Ramah, it's clear why the Ramah is going the way he's going according to the Rashbam. And the Mishnah Berurah says it befeirish. We're talking about a sakana here. We don't want the guy to choke. But if there's no sakana in that direction, and there's clearly a reason al pi halacha to go in the other direction, so you got to go with the reason al pi halacha over the non-sakana. So, I don't know. I'm not saying halacha l'maisa for sure, that's what you have to do, but it's definitely a big tzarachiyah. You know, to try to be Yotzei. So Rabbi Marcus was saying, how could it be that I was never Yotzei Haseva my whole life? So I didn't tell him this, but I was thinking, you go like the Rav Yah, that Bezman Hazeh, we're not really chayev to do Haseva anyway. So maybe that's, our Haseva is not such a serious Haseva to begin with, that we do. We just sort of like, put in a little, bit of a lean into it. Not much of a Haseva. They're talking about a Haseva where your mamish lying on your side. That's why it's impossible to eat with that hand. The way we do a Haseva, it's pretty possible to eat with either hand. So it's not, maybe it's
why
not as big.
Why is he saying that doesn't apply?
The Rav Yah says, Bezman Hazeh, nobody does a Haseva anymore.
I think it's not necessarily Chayrus.
So there's no Chayrus in the Haseva, yeah. There's no Chayrus in the Haseva. There's a very interesting Ramah. The Ramah like throws in this Rav Yah whenever he gets in trouble. Right? The Ramah by Nashim. Says we're so mechana. It says that really nowadays women are chayiv in a seva because they're all nashim chashuvas. But nevertheless, we're not going to have women do a seva because they're so mechana the Rav Yah. So everybody has the same kasha. You can't have it both ways. Either they're potter from a seva and they don't have to do it, or they're chayiv in a seva. You can't say they're chayiv in a seva but they're so mechana the Rav Yah. So why aren't the men so mechana the Rav Yah? Everybody should be Samech on the Rav. So Shlomo Zalman Auerbach has an interesting teres. He wants to say that really, Eina Chinami, the Rav Yah is correct.
Okay.
We also are Samech on the Rav Yah.
Okay.
So, but nevertheless, we men have been doing Haseba for so many generations, we're not willing to give up our old-time religion. We're not willing to not do Haseba. My grandfather did Haseba, and his great-grandfather did Haseba, and all the way back to Moshe Rabbeinu, everybody did Haseba. So if that's so, then I'm not willing to give it up. But the women, their great-grandmother wasn't doing a seva. Their great-grandmother was going Medina de Gemara, that Isha in Tzarech HaSeva. Right? Most of their great-grandmothers were not Nashim Chashuvos. And therefore, they don't do it. So even though Bizman Hazeh, all women are Nashim Chashuvos, nevertheless, there's no old-time religion for them. So they just go with the Ikar Adin, which is like the Rav Yah. That's how Rav Shlomo Zalman. So, Chaps and Afgamina, for a woman who knows she's from a long dynasty of Nashim Chashuvos, that maybe her old-time religion was that day, or she always did so. Maybe she wants to do a Seba Dafka. But Lamaisa, that's one way Rav Shlomo Zalman wants to explain the Ramah.
Remember what it is?
Yeah. There's actually two versions of what Rav Shlomo Zalman actually said. So the Alicha Shlomo has both versions. I remember when the Alicha Shlomo came out on Pesach, Rav Shlomo Zalman Haggadah has one way, and there's another sefer that quotes Rav Shlomo Zalman saying another way. I forgot the other sefer. And when the Halicha Shlomo came out, I was all excited to see which way was the correct way. So the way I said it over is the way I like it personally. You could read the Halicha Shlomo. So the Halicha Shlomo just quotes both ways. So some say Rav Shlomo Zalman said this, some say he said that. I was like, that was not helpful. Anyway, so if you go like Rav Shlomo Zalman, so it's not so bad for lefties because nobody's really chayiv in a seva anyway because meikar adin we all passing like the Rav Yah, so it's not so terrible. But lemaisa, once you're doing a seva anyway. So, actually, now that I'm thinking of it, maybe it even makes more sense, according to Shlomo Zalman, for a lefty to do a seba on his left side. Why? Because if you really putter from a seba anyway, and the only reason you're doing it is to imitate the ways of your forefathers, so your forefathers all did a seba on the left side because they all held like the Rashbam, and they held the Metzias was like the Rashbam. So now why are you going to do a seba daft on your right side? Not only are you not accomplishing the mitzvah of a seba according to the Ramah, but you're not even accomplishing the old-time religion of doing a seba on the left side. Okay. I don't know if that's really a strong taina, but interesting idea. All right. So anyway, let's go back to what we were talking about last time in terms of Tarovis Chametz. All right. So the Gemara on Daf Chavtes, Amid Beis, has a famous comment that Chametz is not bottle, the Tarovis. They say that chametz is never batal, whether it's bimino, whether it's shalo bimino. And Rashi explains what the reason for that is. It's not related to Nosan Tam of Gan, but it is going to be related to what we ended off with last time with Davashi Yesh Lomakirin. We're still in the realm of Tarovis chametz. We'll probably spend another time or two on the realm of Tarovis chametz. Seeing as how the Gemara spends a lot of time on it, and the Rishonim certainly spend a ton of time on it. I like Tarovis in general, but it's definitely the actual Inyan. I'm not trying to stick it in there where it doesn't belong. It's definitely the actual Inyan of one of the actual Inyanim of the second parak. So here Rashi Diramaschal Shalo Bimino, right? He writes the Afo God, the second line in Rashi. The Islay the Rav, sorry, B'choli Surin Shalob Mino Benosin Tam. In general, we hold Min B'Sheino Mino is Batal Benosin Tam. Rav happens to famously hold like Rabbi Yehuda that Min B'Mino is not Batal B'Shishim. So Rav Gozar B'Chametz B'Zmano Hoil U'B'Karesu Shalob Mino Atu Mino. Since there's a Chi of Kares when it comes to Chametz, he was Gozer Min b'she'eno mino, that it should be just like min b'mino. V'yafal gav b'chelev v'dam lo gazer shalo b'mino atu mino. There are other things in the world that are chayv karis for as well, like chelev and dam, although not all dam, as you know. It's only certain types of dam that you chayv karis for eating, right? What types of dam is that? No, it's animal blood, first of all. And it has to be dam, what? It has to be dam of the neshama. What does that mean? It means when you cut the throat of the animal, when you do the shechita, the first gush of blood, that's called the dam that the neshama is tliya bo. So that's the dam that if you would eat that, you'd be chayev kares. Other types of dam, you'd be chayev malchus, and there are other types of dam that you wouldn't be chayev anything. But anyway, it's a different story for a different time. But lemaisa, there is something called dam that you get karis for. So, and there's also chelev that you get karis for. And we weren't gozer that it's not batal. We are mevatal dam b'shishim, and mevatal chelev b'shishim. So how come we weren't gozer there? So he says, hasam hu de bedile mine. There, you're separated from it in general. Av chametz lo bedile mine ho v'ochlo koyimos hashana. So this is going back to that svara we threw in when we started Pesachim, talking about chametz is lo bedile mine versus chelev v'dam is bedile mine, and therefore we're not going to make that gzera. This is the famous sheet of Rashi. It's also known as the sheet of the Rosh. The Rosh is here in Simon Hay, where he writes that because there's a chi of karis when it comes to achilas chametz, it's not going to be batal even b'mashu. And the second half of the Rosh is in Maseches Avodah Zarah, in the fifth parak, Simon Chavtes, where he writes, like Rashi, that he adds the reason. He doesn't actually mention the reason of Chiyav Kares, he just mentions the reason of Lo Bedili and Ishminei. So if you put the two Roshes together, you see he holds exactly like Rashi, that it's because it's Chiyav Kares, and it's Lo Bedili and Ishminei. So therefore, they were gozer that Chamesh should be Aser B'mashu. However, the trouble begins with the Shitas of Rambam. The Rosh Hashanah Avodah Zarah is in the fifth parak, Simen Chof Tes. Problem is, in Parak Tes Vav of Hilchos Macholos Asuros, Halacha Tes, Rambam states as follows. Chometz bePesach afal pi shehu meisurei Torah eino bechlolos elu. Sorry, chometz on Pesach is not included in the rules I have just laid out of bittul. Lefi sheena taroves asura liolam shari laachra Pesach tia kol taroves muteres kimo shebe'arnu. It's what we call a davar sheyesh lo matirin. Lefichach oser bekol shehu bein b'mino bein shelo b'mino. Therefore, whether it's min b'mino, min she'eino mino, it's always going to be aser b'mashu. So the Rambam says clearly the reason why chametz asers b'mashu is davar she'yesh lo matirin, nothing to do with chiyuv karis.
He says davar she'yesh matirin there?
He says, lefi she'eina taroves asura liolam, shari la'achara pesach tiya kol taroves muteris, kamo she'be'arno. After Pesach, it's going to be mutter. And then we had the kasha. We mentioned this yesterday. What was the kasha against the Rambam?
Correct.
Meaning by regular davashish lamatirin, it's based on a Mishnah. We said it's a bunch of times in Yerushalmi that we automatically say davashish lamatirin is batal min b'sheino mino. So if you had a kezias of tevel fall into 100 kizasim of cholent, so then the tevel is going to be batel, because tevel is grain, let's say, it's not cholent tevel. So the tevel is going to be batel because it's min b'she'eino mino, and it's batel b'shishim b'nosim tav. And therefore, shouldn't the chametz be the same thing? So the Rambam already answers the kasha, but the problem is we don't know what the Rambam's answer is. So the Rambam in Halacha Yedbeis says Yiroa Lish Afilu Davar Sheyesh Lo Matirin Misari V'Sheino Mino V'Lo Nasan Tam Mutter. Says the same thing we just said, that if that Davar Sheyesh Lo Matirin is Batal Min B'Sheino Mino. So Lo Yezeh Sheyesh Lo Matirin Chomer Mitevel Shariyev Shlataklan, etc. So now he's just skipping that line. Va'Al Titama Al Chometz B'Pesach Shehat Torah Asra Kol Machmetzes. So he gives an answer, which is more of a question. He says, don't ask, what about chametz? What I just got done saying is a davar sheyesh lo matirin, and nevertheless, it's going to be aser b'mashu, even min b'sheino mino. What happened to the rules of davar sheyesh lo matirin? No, the Torah says, kol machmetzes lo sochelu, lefichach echmiru bo. That's why the Chachamim were machmir more so by chametz than by anything else, and it even asers min b'she'eino mino b'mashu. Okay, that's nice. What does that even mean? Since the Torah says a pasuk kol machmetzes lo sochelu, we're going to aser min b'she'eino mino b'mashu. That's the Rambam. But like I said, we're left with more questions than answers. We're not really sure what the Rambam was getting at with this. So,
if you eat a davar sheyesh lo matirin min
mino,
what are you over? Like, what's the,
is there,
is a davar sheyesh lo matirin the
reisa? No, so we said a davar sheyesh lo matirin is a chumra mid the rabbanon, right? Remember we said the two mahalchim yesterday in understanding what the iser of davar sheyesh lo matirin is and why it's not batel, right? So we said that the standard svara was the svara of Rashi. Why eat it the iser when you can eat it the heter? So that's a rabbanon svara. With the rice, it's batel, because you're not even eating it b'isser. It's mutter now, right? But why rely on bittel is what Rashi means to say. Don't rely on bittel when you don't have to. And the Ran says a different vart. He says because there's no real clash al pi halacha. There's no hisnagdus, right? I guess if you want to use the Israeli terms, there's no hitnagdut hilchatit, right? There's no halachic clash, right? So therefore, davar sheyesh lo matirin, it's going to be mutter later, so it's not really usher now, so there's no real clash. So it's like Rabbi Yehuda Shita of Min B'mino. So That's the way the Ran explains it. So either way, those are clearly the Rabban and Svaras, because even within the Ran, there is a clash. It's Usser today, so there is a Hisnagdus there al pi halacha. It's just that it's not as strong as usual when it comes to real Isser and real Heter. So, but Lamaisa, it's definitely Midrabbanan. The Ran spells out that it's Midrabbanan, and Rashi all but spells out that it's Midrabbanan, but everybody agrees that this is only Midrabbanan. So the Ram, and the Rambam saying it too. The Rambam says, therefore, the Chachamim, because it says in the Torah, Kol Nachmetzes Lo Tzochel, the Chachamim, you know, told us that we're going to be super machmir by chametz, right? Okay, so before we explain the Rambam, just a couple of easy nafkaminas between the shita of the Rosh and the shita of the Rambam. So again, the Rosh shita is, and like Rashi, Isser Kares Lo B'Dilimine, Rambam shita is Davar Sheyesh Lo Matirin. So the Aruch HaShulchan has one or two nafkaminas, and the Shach has a nafkamina. The Aruch HaShulchan in Siman Tuf Mem Zayin Siv Beis Siv Gimel. So the Aruch HaShulchan writes, the main nafkamina is that we're talking about Chametz Nuksha. Chametz Nuksha is a certain type of Chametz, which is Nechal Ayidei Adchak. There's really two types of Chametz Nuksha. But let's go with the non-egg matzah type of Chametz Nuksha. Let's talk about, like, glue chametz nuksha, right? So if you have, let's say, a glue which is made with some type of a chametz in there, or you have some type of a spray,
ketchup
and vinegar. Why is that chametz nuksha? Vinegar and ketchup? It's a food. It's mustama. That's not something which is chametz nuksha. Is something which is nechal ayidei harchak. It's something which is like, you know, there's always one kid that eats glue. But the glue is not a food. I mean, it's not going to kill you if you eat it. But it's so, or like, that's basically like the Rabbi Blumenkrantz book is all based on the concept of chametz nuksha. None of that is chametz that a person is going to actually go ahead and eat. It's not asur min haTorah. But it's chametz nuksha. It's some of it's nechal yedei adchak. Like Rav Moshe wants to say things that have ethanol in them, where alcoholics can just, you know, take a lighter out and just cook it a little bit, and then it's going to be roy for drinking. So that's already considered chametz nuksha, even though nobody in a million years would just walk over to a bottle of perfume and chug it. But with a minor tikkun, that's nechal yedir chak, right, the glue or whatever. But real foods would be chametz mamish, not chametz nuksha. So chametz nuksha, which is asur mid rabbanan, let's say, if you would hold, so you're definitely not going to be chayv kares for eating chametz nuksha. So according to that, would chametz nuksha be batal b'tarovis? So according to the Rambam, is it going to be batal b'tarovis? Well, let me ask you something. Is the chametz nuksha going to be mutter after Pesach? Well, you got a 1 out of 2 chance. What do you think? Well, is chametz gomer going to be mutter after Pesach? Yeah. What? Chametz Gomer is going to be mutter after Pesach. Obviously, Chametz Nuksha is going to be mutter after Pesach. So if you hold Chametz Nuksha is going to be mutter after Pesach, which is true, so then according to the Rambam, it's still a Davar Sheyesh Lo Matirin, so it's not going to be batal b'tarovis. Right? Whereas, if you hold, like the Rosh, there's no Issur Kares here, and therefore, it's not going to be batal. It will be batal b'tarovis. It's not going to be Yasser B'mashu. Right? So that's one nafkamin. That's our Chashulchan has a different nafkamin also, I don't want to get into now. But the Shach in Yeridei and Siman Kuf Beis of Katan Yud Gimel has a simple, nothing fancy nafkamina, which is, what about Erev Pesach after the fifth hour? Erev Pesach after the fifth hour, Chametz becomes Aser. But it's not an Issur Kares. So there you have another classic nafkamina between the Rambam and the Rosh. So you have, so what do you say over there? So, according to the Rosh, there's no kares, so okay, so it's going to be batal. And what about according to the Rambam? Still davar sheyesh lo matirin. It's not going to be batal. So that's the standard nafkaminas.
So it's just a rule that chametz nuksha is not kares.
Chametz nuksha is generally assumed only to be asur mid rabbanan.
So don't you say like Shita's Ram is that if you eat chametz after the sixth hour, there is there a kares to it?
The Ram holds you chayav kares after the sixth hour? I don't think so. I don't think so, but maybe. So, so again, these are nafkaminas. So how do we paskin in Shulchan Aruch? So, so Rav Soloveitchik is medayik, pashutiyuk, but it has this in the Shurim and Yoredeyasim and Peites. So Rav Soloveitchik is medayik from the Lashon of the Shulchan Aruch, or from the actual Pesach of the Shulchan Aruch, that both the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah seem to agree with the Rosh against the Rambam. Because if you look in the halachas of Hagolas Kalim and Siman Tuf Nun Beis, so if you look in Hagolas Kalim, so the Mechaber is adamant that a person should try very hard to do all of his Hagolas Kalim before the Isser Chametz sets in. So in Siman Tuf Nun Beis, Seif Aleph, the Mechaber says the following, Yesh li zor lahagil kodem shah chamishis, to do all your Hagolas Kalim before the fifth hour into the day on Erev Pesach, kidei shelo yitzdarech ledakdek im hakelim b'nei yomin olav. Reason number one is, we don't want you to have to be medakdek whether or not you use the keli within 24 hours. So what do you mean? So hold on. Here's your question. How does Hagolas Kalim work? So you take the pot, you have blios in the walls of the pot. You boil up the water in the middle of the pot. And then all the blios go into the pot. So what's the problem with that? What happens to the blios? Where do they go? Again, take a pot, put water in it. You boil it up. All the blios from the pot go into the middle of the water now. And what, do they disappear? Where do they go? In the water. So then, what happens? Why don't they just go right back into the walls of the pot? That's quite the chiddush, right? So the answer is, Einachinami, they do. We don't assume that they don't. So what's the reason we allow Hagolas Kalim to begin with? So the first thing and the biggest lechatchila to do is that you take the pot, you don't use it for 24 hours, and then the bliya on the sides of the pot is considered a nosentam of gam, and then you boil up the water, and the bliya of the pot goes into the water, and then if it is absorbed back into the walls of the pot, you're absorbing a nosentam of gam. So, well, you'll say, but isn't there a gzera eno binyoma oto binyoma? We did that in Tosos. So what's the answer? As we said, like Rosh Shlomo Zalman, right? We said, the gzera eno binyoma oto binyoma is only when you have a bliyashal isser in the walls of the pot, and then it goes, and then you wait 24 hours and you want to use it. But let's say the pot is boleya, a pugum flavor to begin with. Right? Let's say you're foolhardy enough to not have an OU on your dishwasher detergent. Right? If you look, my wife, she's still having people in the community make meals for her. So my wife said, you're going to get a kick out of this. She showed me the aluminum pan had an imprint on the pan. It had a Hamisha Hashkacha from a Rav in Muncie that the aluminum pan is kosher. So, okay, no Nevelis and Trafis went into that aluminum. Very happy to hear that. But Lamaisa, so you look at every dishwashing soap, they all have OU, whatever, Chafke, whatever, they're all kosher. You know, did any of them need to be kosher? They're all terrible. Saying that they're better than a Bliya Shena Binyomo? Saying they're 10,000 times worse than a Bliya Shena Binyomo. You get sick if you eat them. So somebody told me a certain Chash of a Posek said that, no, it's apple flavor, grape flavor, whatever, all these different smells that come, so they're all delicious. So they're not considered nosa tam of gam. So he has a very loyal Talmud who went home and tried to eat some. He said, first of all, tasted terrible. Second of all, he got sick from it. So the mechilas kvodo, you can't say that that's not a nosa tam of gam. It's terrible. Saying, so if you have the tam of the dishwashing soap, and you say, so let's say you have a dishwashing soap which is not kosher. So you take the dishwashing soap and you put the hot water on the dish with the soap and you have an iri kli rishon, let's say, that's going to be mavliya, the dishwashing soap, into the plate. So you just trafe up your plate. So the answer is no, because it was bolea tam pogum lechachila. So the bleus in there, when they went in, they were pogum.
So it was never in a state when they were.
Correct, correct. There was never a second where there was an isser in there that wasn't pogum. So it's not the same thing as a gzera in a ben yomo at the ben yomo. Gzera ben yomo at the ben yomo is when it's bolea tam shel isser, and then you wait out the clock and it becomes mutter al tznos and tam of dam, that's when it's a problem. You hear? So that's what's happening with Agolas Kalim too. You wait 24 hours, then you boil out the bleus, and when the bleus are reabsorbed into the pot, it's being bolea tam pogum lechachila. And therefore, it's not a problem. That's the best case scenario. So if you ever need to kasher kalim, the first thing you do is wait 24 hours. That you solve all the world's problems like that. What's another solution? Is you can, if you know for a fact how much non-kosher was bolua into the walls of that pot, so it's shaykh, you could have shishim keneged the bleus. Or another scenario is, you'll have a fork or a spoon that's not nearly the volume of shishim keneged a big pot, and you'll take that fork or spoon and you'll put it into the big pot, and then the bleah from the fork or the spoon will be buttle in the more than shishim of water in that pot. So that's the secondary way of dealing with it. If for whatever reason you can't wait 24 hours, you could be mavata the bleah to shishim. But as we pointed out yesterday, the average pot does not have nearly close to shishim keneged its own volume, meaning the volume of the walls is not going to be less than a 60th of the amount of water the pot can hold. So that's why we don't rely on that, unless it's an aluminum tin. Yeah.
Just a parenthetical question. When we say that the time won't be, will be the bleus of whatever the kli, are we saying just the surface area of the kli or the actual like volume of that kli?
The bleus won't be what?
That the time, like either will or will not be whatever. Will or not be invited to the bleus of the clip, right? You just said that the walls of the clip are not going to be less than, let's say, will not be less than a 60th of the whatever of the water inside the pot, right?
Right.
So, what is considered the bleus? Are we saying just like surface area?
We assume that you need to measure the entire volume of the walls of the pot. Because we don't know how much is actually balua into those walls. Now, if you knew for a fact that I only used one kezias of nevela in this pot, so then you only need to have 60 kezasim of water to be mavatal that blia. Because there's no way the blia is bigger than one kezias. Chances are it's much, much smaller than one kezias. But we assume lahalacha, lo yadin and kamenafik mine, we always assume the volume of the food that went in there is the volume of the blia. But so in most cases you're not really sure. You boiled up a whole pot full of spaghetti and meatballs, and it turns out the meatballs were nevela. So you definitely have in those meatballs at least the volume of the walls of the pot. So therefore you assume the entire pot is balu of nevela. And if you want to kosher it, you need shishim connected that, or you need to wait 24 hours until it's a nosen tam lefgam. Then you are motzi the blios through hagala, and then when they go back in, it's not going to be a problem. You hear?
So what was the Shulchan Aruch then?
So the Shulchan Aruch started off by saying, you definitely want to try to make sure that you do the hagala on erev Pesach before the zman iser. Because that way you won't have to be medakdek whether or not it's a ben yom or it's an eno ben yom. So the question is, what do you mean? Why not? So the answer is, what's the status of a chametz tikka pot on Erev Pesach? What's a chametz tikka pot on Erev Pesach? It's completely kosher. Chametz is mutter on Erev Pesach until the Zman Isser sets in, right? I don't know about you. I often have gone to Dunkin' Donuts on Erev Pesach and have not been chayev anything. Why? Because I go before the Zman Achilas Chametz. So therefore, the Mechaber says, if you're going to do Agolas Kalim, we can't imagine such a Metzias. We've done Agolas Kalim 6 months in advance already. But Lamaisa, the Mechaber is talking about a guy, he has one pot. Up until Erev Pesach, he was using his pot for Chametz. Now he wants to use it for Pesach. So for us, it's Pashmish. You have one pot for both. That's ridiculous. It's so not from. Okay. So what we mean is it's so not rich. But the Mechaber is talking about kashering the keli on Erev Pesach. You're done using it for noodles. Now you want to use it for matzah brei or whatever. So you're kashering it Erev Pesach. So now you don't care whether or not it's a ben yom or ain't a ben yom. Why not? Because what's going to happen now? The chametz bliyus go into the water. Assuming you have whatever. You don't have to. I'm sorry. Chametz bliyus go into the water. Then what happens? The bliyus go right back into the pot. So did that solve any problems? So the answer is yes. Because now you have what we call a not bar not de heter. You have a not bar not de heter. The tam went from the noodles to the pot. That's one nosen tam. Then it went from the pot into the water. And now when it's boleya, you have a not bar not de heter, a secondary tam going back into the pot. And if it would then, that if that tam of the chametz would then go into the matzah brei, it would be a not bar not bar not de heter, which is totally mutter. Right? It would be a third time infusion of tam, which we say is such a weak tam, it's not going to accomplish anything. You can't generate an iser with such a weak tam. You don't. That's the point. The Mechaber says, do your hagolas kalim before the zmanish chametz, because otherwise you're going to have to make sure that you're doing hagolas kalim if it's an eino ben yomo. This way, if you wait to this man Isser, you have to be makbet on Eino Ben Yomo. Meaning, why can't we just do this with nevelas? Why can't we just do this with nevelas? Why can't we take the nevela, boil it up in the water, then it'll go back in? It's a not bar not. Right, there's no such thing as a not bar not isura, because we don't care about not bar not isura. The basic yisod of not bar not is, once the tam is weakened, it's not enough to create a new Isser by mixing together with something which is heter. Right, so let's say you have a not bar not, you have dairy equipment, right? Something which was cooked in dairy equipment, and then you cook that together with meat. Yeah, there is a tam of milk in there, but it's not strong enough to asser the meat its own self, because it's not a real full-fledged tam of milk. It's a wimpy tam of milk, and that's called not bar not de tera, not going to generate the issue. But if you had nevela, not bar not, bar not, bar not, bar not, 100 times down the line, so who cares? You're not trying to generate an Isser. It is Isser. So therefore, not bar not, bar not, bar not, that the Isura is still a problem. So therefore, if you have chametz bismana Isser, you can't rely on this just boiling it up and letting it go back into the walls of the pot, because it's a not bar not, the Isura, which doesn't help us at all.
But if you have it achar ben yomo, then you can use
nosentam. Then you can say it's boleh nosentam lefgam lecharchila. That's how the Mechaber explains it. Then, if you look in the Ramah a little bit later on, so the Ramah has a couple of comments here on stuff we're skipping in the Mechaber. So the Ramah says, "V'im lo higil kodem zman isuro yachol hagil ad haPesach she'oz achametz b'mashu ve'eno moil hagola she'chozer obaleah." So he says, going back on something else where we said that maybe you'll have Shishim keneged the blias of chametz. So that's your only etzah if you're doing it on Erev Pesach after the Zman Isser. So if you have Shishim keneged the blias, like we said, you take a fork and you stick it into a humongous pot of water, so then the blias are going to come out of that fork. They're going to be chametz tikka blias, but you're going to have way, way, way more than Shishim in the water, and then it's going to be mevatel the blias of chametz. So that's great until Pesach sets in. But when Pesach sets in, you're out of options. Because when Pesach sets in, chametz is asur b'mashu. And nosen tam of gam doesn't work. Right? That was the whole discussion we had on last week. Right? So that was so nosen tam of gam doesn't work anymore. And the chametz are asur b'mashu, so shishim's not going to work anymore. So now, what's your only eitzah? So the Ramah says, you can do libun. If you want to do liban, that's the only thing that'll work. He says, "Avol mutal laben kli tocha pesa." So he says that if that's your only eitzah, because the difference between hagola and liban is hagola takes out the blias, liban eradicates the blias. So you can eradicate a bli on chametz. I guess maybe you could even argue that it's like a kiyum mitzvah of beer chametz, right? You're mamish burning the chametz. Liban is you take a fire and you get the item so hot. In this case, it wouldn't need to be super hot. You'd only have to do what we call libun kal, because something that really requires hagola, you can get away with what we call libun kal. The way the Rama explains libun kal is that it's so hot that if you would take a piece of straw or a piece of paper and touch it to the pot, the straw or the paper would light on fire. So it's pretty hot. So that's libun kal. Libun chamer, or otherwise known as libun gomer, libun chamer is so hot that it shoots red sparks. So that's things that are boleya al ha'esh mamish. Those things require libun chamer. And libun chamer is very hard to accomplish. Stovetops, you can accomplish libun chamer by encompassing the metal of the stovetop, either by putting pots on top or a blech on top, or by wrapping them individually in tin foil. You ever seen that done? That's the old school way to do it. The way my mother always did it was she took a tin foil and she wrapped up the burners, and then she put them on, and then you mamish see the tin foil on the burners getting so hot, all the kinetic energy with the metal to the metal is all, it gets mamish red. Then you see red heat. So that's but it, what? That's what a lot of people do. The neater etza is to cover the whole burner with a blech or a pot of water. Don't make it an empty pot, and then that you can get a similar heat. I think that's the way the modern magazines tell you that you can do it, is that you can generate a similar heat on the burners by just having the metal pot on top of the metal burner, and that kinetic energy will also accomplish real libun. Putting it in the oven?
No, I kind of like the things you can
on self-clean, you're saying? Yes, take your burners and put them in the oven? Some people don't do it because it could break your oven. Saying that's same kinetic energy situation. Uh-huh. Like that's why some people want to put a brick inside their oven. They'll put a hot rock inside the oven that makes it even hotter. The energy is bouncing around off the brick into the walls, but it's mamish like getting much, much hotter. Like I think self-cleaning ovens get like 900 and change. So that's very hot, but that's not libun chamer. So some say if you put a brick in there, you put a piece of metal in there, then it's going to get super hot. Then you're in business in terms of real libun chamer. Problem is you might break your oven. But Rav Moshe held that's what you need to do. Rav Moshe held you need real libun chamer. We are more mekel, halacha l'maisa, we do kibolo kach polto. We say that real libun chamer is only something which is bolea al ha'esh mamish. So something which is bolea al ha'esh mamish, that experience, that kind of heat. So we also put in that kind of heat. Like if you had a barbecue grill, so that might not be sufficient if you take the barbecue grill and put it in the self-cleaning oven. Because it was bolea on the fire mamish. It might have gotten even hotter than that. So therefore you need regular halachic libun. You need to take a blowtorch and get it so hot that it turns red. With or sparks or whatever. So
the tin foil.
Yeah, that gets it hotter. That gets it hotter than it's ever been. So I don't know if that's going to be a real libun chomer like al pi halacha, but I think it is. But I'm not sure. It might be relying on the same heter of kibolo kach polto, that since all year round it never got hotter than this when it was bolea chametz. So it's going to be polate the chametz, or it's going to eradicate the chametz at the same temperature. Meaning your oven, you never cooked any chametz in that oven at anything hotter than 415, 450 degrees. You know, and even that's a bit of a stretch. But you definitely didn't cook any chametz in there at 900 degrees. So it's hard to argue that you're not going to get kibolo kach polto. And that's the minig ha'olam, is to be mekel against Rav Moshe. Rav Moshe said you need to bust out a blowtorch or maybe the brickworks, I don't know, to get it that hot. And that's how you can accomplish real libun. Rav Moshe said, I believe the blowtorch has to be 7 minutes per square inch inside the oven, which is just physically impossible to do, as far as I can tell. You're going to melt in there. I'm saying 7 minutes per square inch in the oven until it gets hot, because the fire blowtorch is not that hot. I'm saying it's not going to heat something up instantaneously like that. So I don't know how anybody does that. Somebody told me. I don't think so. I think most catering companies nowadays, when they take over a hotel, they bring a whole oven insert, and they just have a kosher insert inside the oven, so you don't have to worry about any bleeds from the walls of the oven bothering you. So that's how they do it, because who has time to go with a blowtorch for saying, I don't know. Somebody told me that one of my guys in my shir said Rav Kelemer comes to the house and blowtorches the door, because even in the self-cleaning ovens, the door doesn't always get that hot. So I told him he was texting his mom, and I said, ask your mom how he does it, how long he does it for on the door. So she texted back, I don't know, but I'm sure he does it right. So I was just like, that's not what I was asking. I wasn't checking up on him to see if he did it right. I was curious whether he's going with Rav Moshe Shita and his mom is standing there for 7 minutes with a blowtorch, so he has a different Shita. So.
When the door not get that hot anyway? The fact that it doesn't get hot from self-cleaning.
I think it doesn't get hot from the self-cleaning because it's a little too removed from the actual energy of the heating element.
But then in which case?
If you applied the heat directly to the door, it'll get hot. You can burn anything, I'm saying.
No, I'm saying then in which case that when you cook something also, it doesn't get that hot either, the door.
Yeah, it's possible that it's possible that there was a bliya in the door, and I'm not really sure what the cheshbon with the door is, honestly. Could be the door dafka in the self-cleaning. I don't really know. I don't want to say too much because I'm not really sure what the cheshbon is with the door. No, stuff spills.
Stuff spills, that's
yeah.
True.
Yeah.
And also in terms of the pots, so you want to you do a go you do a golem pots or do you
regular pots? Yeah, you do a golem. So usually unless you had a pan, the frying pans are the problem. Frying pans are hard to kosher because, generally speaking, you don't put a lot of oil in a frying pan. Sometimes you just spray it with Pam. So that's really not going to be workable idea hagola. You're going to really need to do libun on that. And you can't do libun on a frying pan or you'll melt off all the Teflon. So you're pretty much stuck. No, I had my babysitter trafed up my frying pan last year with bishlakum. So she made herself an omelet. And so we just threw out the frying pan. We didn't have to, I mean, whatever, it's not the end of the world, but what? She knew. She also knew she got fired over it, but she didn't really get fired over it. We were going to fire her anyway. But, you know, no, the Shulchan Aruch says if they're not really scared, then they can't, then you can't trust them at all. That they have to at least be afraid that they're going to lose their job or whatever. Otherwise, how do you know that they're not trafing up your kitchen every single time you leave the house? All right, whatever. Okay. So anyway, what are we talking about all this for? Salvechik wants to be medayik from the Shulchan Aruch. What did the Shulchan Aruch say? It's not a diuk, it's beferish. Right? He said, what do we say? You have to try to get it all in. You have to try to get it all in within the Zman Heter. That way, it doesn't even have to be Eino Ben Yomo. Right, but what happens if it's if he didn't get it in with the Zman Heter? Now it's Erev Pesach after the Zman Iser. So what do you need now in order to make the Hagala work? What do you need to do now in order to make the Hagala work? No, but you can't have it. It's too late. Saying, yeah, you cooked dinner last night in the pot. It's not going to be an Eino Ben Yomo. So that's why the Mechaber says, okay, you made dinner last night. And you cook macaroni and cheese. So now you have the tam chametz in the wall of the pot. So now you want to kosher it that morning. Great. So just kosher it with regular hagala. You don't need Eino Ben Yomo because it's just going to be a not bar not dead terah. Right? And then the Rama says, but if you didn't make the cut, if it's already past the Zman Isser, you can't do not bar not anymore because then it's going to be not bar not disura. So what do you need? You need shishim. You need shishim in the water in order to be mevatel the tam in the walls. So who does he hold like? He holds like the Rush.
Raman would say that wouldn't work.
Because the Raman would say it's still a davar sheyesh lo matirin. Still a davar sheyesh lo matirin. Granted, it's not an issur kares, but it's still a davar sheyesh lo matirin. So the fact that the Ramah and the Mechaber seems to be going along these lines as well. The Ramah and the Mechaber hold that shishim would work on Erev Pesach after the Zman Isra Achilas Chametz seems to prove that we paskin in Shulchan Aruch like the Shita of the Rosh and Rashi, not like the Shita of the Rambam. Yeah. All right. So this is all fine for the machlokis between the Rambam and the Rosh. What about the Rambam himself? So we said the Rambam is very difficult because he's holding that a davar sheyesh lo matirin asers min b'she'en omino. And he says, don't worry, I already thought of that question. And the answer is, because it says in the Torah, kol machmetzes lo sochelu. So therefore they were machmir even by min she'en omino. That just makes more problems for us. So the Stipler has a very interesting teretz. It's in the Kilus Yaakov Simen Chav Gimel in Maseches Pesachim. Stipler is interesting teretz. Maybe we'll try to be done a little bit more on this teretz next time. The Minchas Asher has like 10, I don't know, 10, but he has a bunch of kashas against the Stipler. I'm not sure which ones I want to maybe talk about, which ones not, but we'll try to work it out. So the Stipler says as follows. It says, if you look in the Rambam in the Sefer HaMitzvos, in Mitzvah Kuf Pei Zayin, which is the Isser of Basar B'Cholav, it's in Losa, say, Kuf Pei Zayin. So the Rambam there talks about Isurei Hanah versus Isurei Achila. And he says, any time where the Torah uses a Lashon of don't eat it, it's really an Isser Hanah. Whenever it says an Isser Achila, it's really an Isser Hanah. How come we sometimes have an Isser Achila without an Isser Hanah? That's when the Torah comes right out and tells you it's not an Isser Hanah. But when you see the term do not eat, you can assume it means an Isser Hanah until the Torah tells you otherwise. So for example, we keep talking about the Isser of Nevela. The Isser of Nevela, it says, don't eat Nevela, give it to the Ger. How are you allowed to give it to the Ger? Isn't it Asur B'Hanah? So the answer is no. You see there that the Torah is coming to be motzi from the possibility that it's Asur B'Hanah by telling you that it's only Asur B'Achila. Then the Rambam sort of elaborates it. It says Achila, it's definitely Asur B'Achila, but it's really Asur B'Hanah. Then the Rambam goes a little further with this idea, and he says it actually, really, even the Isser Achila is a form of Isser Hanah. Because when the Torah says don't eat it, what it's really asering is the Hanah that you get from the Achila. But for example, if you ate it, Shalo Kederech Hanah Asan, you wouldn't be chayev for that al pi Torah. So if you would just take nevela and just swallow it whole, whereas you got no hana whatsoever, then that wouldn't be an iser d'oraisa, because you're doing it shalo kederech hana. So if you did a ma'isa achila shalo kederech hana, that would be mutter. So that's what the Rambam wants to say. Anyway, it's a long piece in the Rambam there. It's very kedai to check it out. So based on this, Stipler wants to say the following. I can now explain why there's a chilik by min b'mino versus min b'she'eno mino with a davar sheyesh lo matirin. What happens when you have a tarovis min b'mino? What happens when you have a tarovis min b'mino? So he says, really you have the tam of the min b'mino. So if you have a tarovis of basar nevela together with basar shkuta, so you have the tam of the basar nevela still there. Each tam is mechazik one another, right? So the only way it's ever going to be mutter to eat that nevela together with the shkuta is if you're using bittel. What is bittel? Bittel means that the nevela is kemisheino; it's literally gone from the world, and it's as if it's swallowed up into the basar shkuta, and the only thing that's left is shkuta. All based on the yisod of Acharei Rabim Lahatos. We're basically saying that the Shkuta is all that's there. Everything there is not, there's nothing there that's Nevela, and it's completely Batal Umavutal. Because if you wouldn't say that, if you would say that the Nevela is still there in any way, shape, or form, then you would never be allowed to eat that meat. Why? Because the Tam of the Nevela is there, and if you're going to say the Nevela is there, and the Tam of the Nevela is there, so you're stuck. You can't do anything over there. Because then you're eating nevela and you're tasting it. But if you say that al pi halacha, there's mamish, no nevela here, it doesn't exist, then you're allowed to eat it. That's the yisod of bittel by min b'mino. So you're relying on bittel to allow you to eat it. However, let's say the Chachamim come along and say there's no such thing as bittul in this case. So now you're stuck again. Because it's not bittul, so it's ke'ilu, it's still there. And the tam is still there. So you're being nana from the tam. So your mom is violating the issur d'oraisa of eating the nevela. Because it's davar sheyesh lo matir, and the Chachamim said it's not bittul. You hear? So he says, but what about min b'she'en omino? What if you have a davar sheyesh lo matirin of tevel, and it mixes together with chulent, two totally different flavors? So now, what's going to happen here? Do you really need bittul anymore in order to be matir the issur d'oraisa? Let's say you didn't have bittul, you just couldn't taste it. Right? It's not a real scenario, but let's say it was true. You didn't have bittul, you just couldn't taste it. So would you be violating an issur d'oraisa or not? Well, you're eating tevel. Sounds like an issur d'oraisa. But you can't taste the tevel. So are you being nene from the tevel derech hana'aso? No way. You're not getting hana'a in the normal way from that tevel. In the end of the day, are you swallowing the tevel? Yes, you are. But like the Rambam said, if you swallowed nevela shelo kederech hana'aso, you would not be in that position. You would not be in that position. That would not be the issur d'oraisa. So that's exactly what's going on here. Yes, the Chachamim are telling you davar sheyesh lo matirin is not bittul. But here we don't need bittul. Because technically speaking, it's mutter to eat the tevel. Because if you're eating it shelo kederech hana'aso. And since you're eating it shelo kederech hana'aso, i.e. you can't taste it, so you're not violating the issur of achilas tevel. So you don't need bittul to work. So it's possible that within the Rambam Shita, you could argue that there is no bittul on a davar sheyesh lo matirin, neither min b'mino nor min b'she'en omino. But who cares if there's bittul, because it's mutter to eat it. You understand? You don't need a formal din of bittul. The Chachamim canceled bittul by davar sheyesh lo matirin, but nevertheless, for all intents and purposes, they were matir eating min b'she'en omino. So that they just didn't go. They just didn't call it eno mavuto. But really, it is. You could say that it's not batlan. It would still be mutter, because you're not getting any hanah from the tam, and you're eating it shaloki derech hanah. So that's how the stipler wants to explain the yisod of min m'she'en omino when it comes to davar sheyesh lo matir. Third mahalach. Again, we had the mahalach of the Toras Chatas that there's no shame iser to call a davar sheyesh lo matir. That's within Rashi Shita. We had the Ran that min b'she'en omino. There is a clash, the clash of the Ta'amim, and now we have the Stipler's version of the Rambam that there's no hana in the achila, and therefore there's nothing to worry about when it comes to the achila. You don't even need bittul, right? So all that being said, what about chametz? Chametz has a special pasuk. Kol machmetzes lo sochelu. Kol machmetzes lo sochelu is telling you there's a separate iser achila when it comes to chametz. So if there's a separate iser achila, that's la'afuke, the standard shot of hana. Now we're going to aser even the maisa achila of chametz. The maisa achila, even an achila delays b'hana, is going to be aser as well. If you look in the Rambam, in Hilchos Chametz Matzah, Perek Aleph, Halacha Vav, he's mashma that if you eat certain foods where you don't get a great deal of hana from the achila, that from the achila of the chametz part of that food, you're still on the hook. That's still an issur d'oraisa. And if you look in the Kesef Mishnah there, it's basically spelled out because of the pasuk of Kol Machmetzes Lo Sochelu, where the issur of achilas chametz is above and beyond the standard issur achila of nevela and the like. So based on that, we no longer have our heter of achilas chametz by min b'she'en omino. Because even if you ate the chametz shelo kederech hana'aso, even if you ate it in a way that's not usually considered the hana'as achila, Here, the additional Isser of Kol Machmetzes Lo Socheilu tells you that you're still violating the Isser of Achilas Chametz. And thus, the normal reason why Davash Yishlo Matirin is mutter in a min Mishen Omino doesn't apply to Chametz, because of Kol Machmetzes Lo Socheilu. Similarly, you can explain, according to this, why the Heter of Nosen Tam of Gam doesn't apply to the Isser of Chametz. Right? We explained it a different way. We explained it, you know, well, I'll try to recap that next time, maybe, try to make it clear. But based on this Yisod, you can understand why the Heter of Nosen Tam of Gam doesn't apply either. So now we understand very well what the Rambam was talking about. The Rambam said, I know Davash Yishlo Matirin doesn't apply to Min B'Shein Omino. I know it's Batal B'Shishim. But by Chametz, it says in the Torah, Kol Machmetzes Lo Socheilu. And therefore, the Chachamim saw fit to apply the din of Davash Yishlo Matirin even to Min B'Shein Omino. And thus, the Rambam says that the reason why it's Usur is Min B'Shein Omino. Excuse me, the reason why Chametz Usur B'Masho is Davash Yishlo Matirin. But it's still going to apply to Min B'Shein Omino as well because of a separate Issa Doraisa of the of Kol Machmetz. That's the stipend for it.
Why is it like usual Davash Yishlo Matirin Min B'Shein Omino is not Derech Achila?
It's not Derech Achila to eat something that gives no tam. Saying if it's Batal B'Shishim, it's Kilu, it's not there. Why would I add something to my chillant that doesn't give any flavor whatsoever?
Let's say it adds like
kamus. So again, if it's batal b'shishim, we assume the kamus is very negligible, right? If it's less than 1/60th of the volume, say enachinami. If you were being nene from the kamus, you could argue that that's called derech hanaso.
No.
That was the machlokes in Avodah Zarah in the Ran between the Ran and the Rashba. No, and that's a beferish case in Kuf Beis and Shulchan Aruch. I'm saying if it adds to the kamus, that's a separate type of hana. But Lamaisa, generally things that are batal b'shishim are not adding to the kamas. There we're talking about something which provides some volume, but it's a nosen tam of gam. It's less than rov, but it's not going to be batal b'shishim. How much kamas are you going to add to something that's batal b'shishim? How much hana are you going to get from that additional amount? Right? Okay. Anyway, we'll work a little bit more on this mitzvah next time.